Today's daf is daf lamed tet, and we were just discussing yesterday what is considered to be the nature of the mecha'ah, and whether necessarily the person has to, that you're being mecha in front of, has to be offering to repeat it, or whether it's an assumption that it's going to be repeated. And today we're going to make some strong headway in the direction of the dinim of the mecha'ah, some of the issues that you raised before. And of course, we begin with opening up the sugya about whether mecha'ah shelo b'fanav is considered to be mecha'ah or not. Now, you'll recall that in the Mishnah, we took for granted. Rav's approach to the Mishnah was, if there's an afkamina between Galil and Yehuda, then the only way that the Mishnah could be understood is that there's different levels. If you're in the same area where communications take place, then you don't have to be in front of him. If you needed to be in front of him, it would be absurd to start talking about different medinot, because then wherever you were, if it weren't in the same location, it wouldn't be a kosher mecha'ah anyway. So therefore, we're forced to conclude that you don't have to be in front of the person. You just need to be in a place that maintains enough travel so that there's communications between the place where the owner is and the machzik is, and then everything will be fine. That's what we thought. All of a sudden today, we see we have to re-examine now our premises. Because today it says, Omar Rav, Omar Reb Nachman, and of course Reb Nachman's a very serious sock, because he's the one that's considered to be dying. So Omar Rav, Omar Reb Nachman, Mecha'ah shelo b'fanav, have mecha'ah. Rava quotes Reb Nachman, which is a perfectly reasonable quote, because this is what we've been making as an assumption all along. And then strangely, Rava turns around and asks from the Mishnah on Reb Nachman. Eisvei Rava l'Reb Nachman, even though Rava was the source of the original quote of Reb Nachman, it's not unusual, as the Rashbam points out, for the same person who quotes something to ask on it. It's certainly the Derech of the Gemara is, even if we don't mention that, that when Rav Ashi was Masada the Gemara, he just brought the source of the original quote of Rav Nachman, and then he brought any questions, even it would be the same person. It sounds strange to the reader. And his kasha was like this. It says in the Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Lo amru shalosh shanim ela kedei shiyei baspamia, v'yachzik shana v'yachu v'yodi'u shana, v'yavol shana acheret. Now that makes it pretty clear if the whole point of Libet Rabbi Yehuda is that after a year, he needs a year to return from Spain in order to be mocha in front of him. If you hold you could be mocha wherever you are, so then why would I need to take that extra year to return? Let him stay exactly where he is. Then he could be mocha there, and then that mocha b'cha'a will be perfectly all right. Because even though, as we're going to see, even though you hold mecha'ah shelo b'fanav havi mecha'ah because of chavra yitle, so you katayin, I mean, it's, who cares who's going to come? But whoever's going to come, it's going to take time. I mean, we're not talking about some kind of telepathic communication, so it still needs time to be able to get there. But the point is, not just the lashon of Rabbi Yehuda, but the idea over here is, I don't really need that the person should hear the mecha'ah. I only need that there should be the possibility that he hears the mecha'ah. If he wants to lose his shtar, as we're going to see later on, then let him take certain precautions and make sure that the mecha'ah was hearable. So what we're being a dayak in the lashon of Rabbi Yehuda is that he himself should come. That is strange. But we're happy with the idea that it may take time for him to hear about it. That's fine. So even though you'll say, I mean, what are we going to assume that the moment that this guy's mecha, somebody's going to leave at that moment? That isn't the point, but it could be. So it's, you know. No, it's just a general shear. It obviously is not meant to handle the specific case unless it really is befana. And you don't need time at all. So then in a chinami, we'll see later on that would be considered a mecha'ah on the spot, I'll leave it to Rabbi, because Rabbi Yehuda doesn't require time. He doesn't say it takes time for a person to feel angry enough to lodge a protest. He holds immediately a person would hear about it would protest. Now, the obvious question that bothers us based on our previous assumptions is that why in the world would somebody come and ask a kasha from Rabbi Yehuda if the whole way that we understood the Mishnah, that it only makes sense if you hold Mechashalab of Anulahavim is having Mechali but a Tanakama? So, I mean, it's crazy to ask. The Tanakama is clearly making the assumption, at least the way Rav was learning the Gemara, the Mishnah, that Mechashalab of Anulahavim having Mechon, this was Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. So, what we're going to ask a kasha, Rabbi Nachman, why don't you pass like Rabbi Yehuda? I mean, obviously, Rava is of the opinion that if that's what Rabbi Yehuda holds, then there's no reason for us to assume that Tanakama holds otherwise. Now that's a little bit weird. Why would that be? So Rashbam doesn't have a pshat. He says Rava apparently had a different approach to the Mishnah. He doesn't talk about what that different approach is. Tosfos says that Rava made a fundamental mistake in the Mishnah. Rava, remember that our first problem that we had with the Mishnah, we spoke about Tosfos, is why do we talk about Micha'a? I mean, isn't the first issue the Chazaka itself? So if a guy doesn't hear about the Chazaka, so then obviously they're going to make a Micha'a. It's a little bit weird to start talking about the Micha'a, and therefore it's not going to be a good Chazaka, because how's the guy going to be Micha'a if the Chazaka itself is not going to be heard by the Baalim? So why are we assuming that the Baalim will hear about the Chazaka, but the one who's making the Chazaka won't hear about the Micha'a of the Baalim? That's a little bit funny. So Tosfos explained, the reason the Gemara makes that assumption is because somebody who owns property goes out to find out what's happening with his property. I mean, he doesn't want to let things just fall apart. So he sends letters, I mean, he makes it his business to find out. Mashain came the other way around. You don't say somebody makes it, he's not going to make it his business to find out that there's tzoras brewing. Yes, he could say, I assume that I didn't hear anything and everything was fine. So Rava, however, didn't realize that there was that Nafkamina, says Taisus. Rava assumed that if the chazaka is discoverable by the owner, then the mecha'a is, by definition, discoverable by the machzik. Because, I mean, after all, there's got to be enough communication that goes in both directions. So why would I say that there was a problem? Nonetheless, Rabbi Yehuda holds that there's a din that you have to come and walk to him and tell it to him in his face. So obviously it is not a function of the ability to find out. It's that it's not considered to be mecha unless you make a stand, and the stand is in his presence. So it's not the theoretical yediya. So if that would be the case, then the Rabbanan who were saying that you can't, if you're in now Yehuda to Galil, it's not good, it would be because you would not hear about it. That's the point. The chazaka would never have been found out, and that's why it's not a chazaka. In Yehuda, since the chazaka would have been found out, so therefore it is a chazaka. However, that's only if you came and you said that you're Maicha. So as according to Rava, we have no basis in the Mishnah to assume that there's a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan legabe the issue of Mechor B'fanav. We only have the question about whether we can assume that the chazaka is nishmat or not to a distance. That's all. So if that's the case, there was no reason for him to question that. Why should I think that the Rabbanan argued? And therefore, yes, son Reb Nachman, how could you say that Mechor Shalav B'fanav is considered to be Mecha'a? To which Reb Nachman responded, look, I can't prove that this isn't the pshat in the Mishnah. But, Lamaisa, there's nothing that's mechayev me to say that this is innately what Rav Yehuda is saying either. I mean, who's to say that, since Rav Yehuda say they gave him 3 years in order that he should hear and come now for a full year, travel from Spain to tell the guy? I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it, that the guy should come? I mean, it's all very nice to send a shliach, but that's not going to stop the guy from eating. All it's going to do is to make certain that when you do take the guy to court, which may be 3 years from now, that then you'll be able to recover it. Okay, so now what are you going to recover? You'll recover your land. How about everything that was eaten during that time? That's not here anymore to recover. So now this is going to involve you in an excruciating process, not only of trying to get money out of the guy, which, you know, good luck. That's as the Gemara says, Kasha Gzela HaNechelet. I mean, we learned from Avram Avinu, he didn't even try to, whatever the boys ate already in the war, that he's not giving back to Sodom. You know, I'm not taking anything, but I certainly am not going to pay you back. I mean, that's all we need is to get involved in. I don't know how much they took. Well, that's the case over here. How are you going to prove what the guy ate? So meanwhile, if you don't come yourself, all you're doing is you're insuring the future about the karka. But this guy's going to keep acting like it's his place. He's not going to stop from eating because you lodged the protest. So it's time. It's an exit over.
But with Buta, I had the same idea. With Buta, it's like a year there.
Mm, yeah, yeah, it's interesting. It's cute.
Got away with it.
Yeah, got away with it. Sort of, yeah. Okay, so that would be Stamin Eitzatova Kamashvan. What's the Eitzatova? The Neite, let him come himself if he's smart. Venishkal Ara Viperi. That way he's going to get back not only his Aretz, he'll also get back the Perot that we're going to be eating. But I don't understand what's going on over here, says the Gemara. Rava asked Rav Nachman that Rava thinks that the meaning of the Mishnah is that Mechashel Abafanav lo havi Mechas. I mean, that seems to say that Mechlal delo svirle the Mechashel Abafanav havi Mechas. If Rava's asking problems on Rav Nachman, so then are you trying to tell me that Rava held that Mechashel Abafanav is not considered to be Mechas? Rava was the one who yesterday, at the end of the daf, paskin that the halacha is Mechashel Abafanav is considered to be mechah. Remember the contradiction in Rava that on one hand he said ein machzik minichse bereach, and then a minute later he says but mechah shel b'fanav is mechah. And we asked, we had to answer that they were talking about a guy who's a fugitive from a murder charge, whatever. But I mean, certainly Rava, if anything, was the one who personified this the psak that it's mechah shel b'fanav is mechah. What's he asking Rav Nachman? No, at first that's what he thought, but I mean, after he heard that Rav Nachman paskin this way, and after he asked his question, Rav Nachman explained it to him, that's when he came to recognize that Rav Nachman was right, and the psak that he issued yesterday was after he heard from Rav Nachman. He's not obviously going to be makabo Rav Nachman the Dayan's psak, but he himself initially had a different shot in the Mishnah. Now, Ashkechina, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Hanina, the Talmid of the Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yossi bumped into Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan, and he asked them, what was Rabbi Yochanan's opinion? And this was a question that has been raised in this room. I promised we'd be soon discussing it. So here we are. Did you hear from Rabbi Yochanan? Mi amar Rabbi Yochanan. Did Rabbi Yochanan say to you, Micha Abakama? What is a Micha'a? We say, Micha Shalabafan. Does that mean he goes into Besdin? Does it mean he says to one person? He says to two people? What exactly defines this Micha'a? So Rabbi Chiya Bar Ava quotes Rabbi Yochanan having said that Micha'a is Bifnei Shnai. And Rabbi Avu quotes Rabbi Yochanan as having said, Micha'a Bifnei Shlosha. Rather common situation with Rabbi Yochanan, as you may have noticed. And so, what would be the machloket? Fascinating. If we assume that the nature of a micha'a is to actually get the information to the person, then what they might be arguing about is Rabba Bar Rav Huna's fascinating halacha l'gabi lashon hara. Because the Omar Rabba Bar Rav Huna ko milta de mit'am rabba betlata let ba mishum lishna bisha. He said that if something had been said in front of three people, so then it's no longer considered to be spreading Lashon Hara, because everybody knows about it. Because once three people know about something, everybody knows about something. Tosfos has a very different approach, by the way. He takes this approach in Erechin. It's a whole different way of understanding. He learns that anything that you say in front of the person that you're saying it about, and you don't care about his hearing, is not considered to be Lishna Bisha. So according to him, the meaning is, if you're saying it in front of three people, you might as well be saying it to his face, because it's going to get right to him. But either approach is based on, once three people know something, then everybody is going to know about it. Certainly the person that it's about is going to know about it. In which case, if you hold that that's true, so he's saying dafka three people. So if that's true about the dinim of Lashon Hara, so then that would also be true as far as the dinim of Micha'a, because the point of Micha'a is we want to make sure that he heard about it. So if you hold of this psak of Rabba Bar Rav Huna, then you're saying the only way I can be sure he heard about it is if I say it in front of three people, not on the din of Besdin. When you say three people over here, it doesn't mean Besdin. It means three people that are going to spread the word, because the whole thing was based on spreading the word, right? So Lechora, that's what they're arguing in. So one would think that Man Yom Rebifnei Shnayim, if you quote Rabbi Yochanan as saying that Mecha can be in front of two people and that's sufficient, so apparently let lay the Rabba Bar Rav Huna. He doesn't hold that you need three people like Rabba Bar Rav Huna to spread gossip. Man Yom Rebifnei Shlosha, eat like the Rabba Bar Rav Huna Mashenken. If you quote Rabbi Yochanan as saying that you need three people, so that's because he holds a Rabba Bar Rav Huna, and the devil's radio always uses, you know, three announcers. And so if that's the case, for Mecha would be the same din.
That's not the same.
say the person who says it the first time is over.
Not according to Tosfos, because Tosfos sees this as a continuation of the sugya that I never said anything and I turned around to see if anybody was listening. Whatever I said, I would say to the person that I'm saying is apparently that shita holds, that then that's not considered to be Lashon Hara, because that's not the point. I'm trying to influence other people. So, okay, we're not holding in the sugya of Lashon Hara, but once the repetition is not spreading, so the shita holds, if the point of your saying it is not the spreading, so then it doesn't have a din of Lashon Hara. Says the Gemara, no, that is not necessarily true at all. Look, the kulei alma itay derabba baravu. And when it comes to the din of the halakas of Lashon Hara, maybe everybody holds of rabba baravu. The question is whether indeed you need to spread it. Is that the point? So Baal Chabakam, you forget. The mandyam if nishnayim. If you quote Rabbi Yochanan as saying you only need two people, so adarabba, he must hold that the point of the mecha'ah and the two people is not to spread it, because two people aren't guaranteed to spread. Therefore, what must it be? Just testimony that a mecha'ah was lodged. What good is that going to do? That's because they hold that the only way to lodge the mecha'ah is in front of the guy anyway, because mecha'ah shelo b'fanav lo havi mecha'ah. So therefore, all you want to have is testimony that you did lodge the mecha'ah. As far as letting him know, you let him know yourself. You said it to his face. So now, 3 years later, you're going to come into court, and the guy will say, what mecha'ah? I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean? You don't remember I was mecha'ah? No, I don't remember. So you need to have witnesses, obviously, that you were mecha'ah. Actually, 3 years is maybe left after. But let's say 2 years later. We'll see whether 3 years can go by. That's the next sugya, whether he really could have allowed 3 years to go by without further ado. But therefore, the only point of having witnesses is the reason I always have witnesses, is to be able to bring them into court. But not because I need the witnesses to establish the mecha'ah.
Together in front of the person?
Yeah. Because mecha'ah shelo b'fanav is not mecha'ah. Whereas man di amar b'fnei shlosha, if you hold, you need three. That's because the point of the mecha'ah is to spread it. If the point is to spread it, since we hold of rabba baravuna, so then kesav shelo b'mecha'ah, mecha'ah shelo b'fanav, is considered to be mecha'ah, then they're serving a totally different purpose here. They're serving the purpose of being broadcasters, not being edim. So that would tie into the sugya that we just had before. Or maybe, you know what, it's better to say, perhaps, that the kuliyama mecha'ah shelo b'fanav havi mecha'ah. I mean, after all, that's the way we were learning, basically, that you don't really have to be in front of him. It's only this first approach of Rava was asking, I mean, but it seems that even he agrees with Reb Nachman in the end, and the way Rav had learned the Mishnah, I mean, it's not such a good idea to turn this into Tudla Shainas of Rabbi Yochanan. We could say that everybody, in the end, everybody agrees that mecha'ah shelo b'fanav is considered to be mecha'ah. So then, what is the machlokas if it's not in Rabba Barav Huna himself, if it's not about whether two people can do the job of spreading? Mandiyomar bifnei shnayim savar sahaduta beina. One, the Mandiyomar says too, he says, look, we don't need to make certain that the guy found out. That's not what the people that I'm saying it there for. It could have been found out. It's out there, and he can find out about it. So according to this, the point of the mecha'ah is not to make sure that he finds out about it. The point of the mecha'ah is to make it possible that he finds out about it. So the only reason I would need mecha'ah in front of two people even is because I need to testify that the mecha'ah was made. If the guy comes and says, well, how was I supposed to? I never heard anything about it. I said, well, you know, you had a shtar. We're trying to help you out, buddy. You know, you didn't keep your shtar, but you got to do a little bit of research for yourself also. I mean, there's due diligence. I'm not going to bother keeping my shtar. There were people out there who knew about it. So maybe it's not our responsibility to make certain that you get an SMS call to evacuate the area. You know, only Israelis do that. But that's enough that you know that things are no good.
Even if it's not a chazaka that you would find out that beforehand.
No, that's the tekan. We're the one who define what this chazaka is, right? Because basically, which as we said, we're trying to strike a balance. I mean, what we could have done is just say, look, either you got your contract or you don't have your contract. Fine. So as Rava said, it's not the derech to keep a contract. They have a certain number of years, but that's only if you feel comfortable. So we're trying now to strike that balance. So this is what we did. We're a mechuyev to make sure that the guy hears. That's a mistake. So as long as I can prove with witnesses, there's no reason why this guy wouldn't have been able to find out if he was really interested in due diligence. So I did what I needed to do. Here's the, and Lamaisa, if a guy would even prove that he was in isolation, for 3 years. He couldn't possibly have heard about it. So he said to him, if you were in isolation, buddy, then you shouldn't have lost your contract, because you should realize that all kinds of things might have been going on. So obviously that's not going to be a taina against somebody else's business. Well, if I would have known, make it your business to know or hold on to your contract. It's not as if this you got a problem with Raya's. We're trying to help you. Don't come with tainas. So if that's the case, we don't need three people to spread the word. We don't need even two people to spread the word. We only need it to be possible. The reason we're saying that there should be two people is because you want to be able to bring witnesses to Besdin and say, look, I definitely did what I had to do. I mean, this guy, I don't know why he doesn't have his contract. I mean, I'll tell you why, because he's never had one, but I mean, you can ask him. So then the other Mandi Omar holds, he holds that the mechanism of the mecha'a specifically that we're allowing the guy because the mecha'a could have gotten to him because everybody's talking about it. So if that's the case, I know from Rabbi Barafunda that everybody talking about it requires three people. Okay, that's a major difference in how to approach chazaka according to this Ibait Ema. According to this, works out perfectly. No problem. That's a different issue. The question is, do we need it or not? That's all. Now, Gidol Bar Minyumin is actual Maisa of Rav Gidol. And Havi Le Mechayut Le Mechayut, he needed to do a Mecha'a. And he was going along the road, and he comes across Rav Huna and Chiyabarav and Rav Chilchia Bar Tuvi, who are all Dayanim. Abayatve, they were there. And he was Mecha Kamayu. Now, Le Maisa, it's not that he held, you have to be Mecha in front of Besdin, but the fact is that there were three people there who were all Dayanim, and so he was Mecha in front of them, but it's convenient. That's not the point that we're trying to make. What we're trying to get to is the next thing. A year later, he comes back to the same place in order to be Mecha again. Because he apparently held that what the Mecha is an indication that I continue to maintain my Balut. But if I don't act on it again, and I seem to have just forgotten about it, it's as if I'm being made that, I wasn't really serious. I wasn't going to, I didn't really mean that he's a Gazi. Because otherwise, so now it doesn't matter to you. So he thought that Mecha was a mechanism that needs to be constantly reasserted. So he comes again, Lishana, Hadaratin Lemechui, Omrele, they said to him, no, this is a mistake. A Mecha is just a reason for the guy to hold on to his contract. You were Mocha once, Lo Tzarichet. You don't need to come back again. If you do the mecha'a up front, it's not your problem to be mocha all the time. Some say it was actually Chia Barav who said the psak, not that they quoted Rav, but that Chia Barav himself said, however, Omer Eshlokish Bishum Bar Kapara, V'tzorech Limchot B'sof Kol Shalosh V'Shalosh Shanim. You would have to be Mocha at the end of every 3 year period. Now, there's a question of why that would be. Because on the surface, if the guy didn't have his contract, then we've essentially already established him as being an interloper. Because he now has to be Maida, I don't have my contract. This guy is saying, I don't belong here. And that's the way we would have passed him. We would have thrown him out, except that we didn't bother throwing him out. So now how all of a sudden, because for another 3 years, I'm quiet, so therefore now, even though he's already established as basically a ganev, he can stay. So some learn that what it means is that if you're not mecha 3 years again, he can always come back and claim, well, after I saw the guy gave me a hard time with the guy, I went and bought it from him. So now he has a new taina. With that mecha'a, the problem is that new taina is mufrach minei ubei. If he's saying, I actually owned it before, but I paid the whole thing over again, that's a little bit weird. In other words, you really didn't have a contract, or something strange, you just managed not to keep your contract. Okay, so this is a question. Rashbam doesn't like that chat. Once already we've established, so then that shouldn't be the point. We've established it. He had no right to be in that karka. He isn't holding a contract. He doesn't have a contract. Somebody who's in somebody else's field without a contract is a gossip. The same way, I walk by the street, remember, grab your yarmulke. That was the case we have in Naskar Baba. You're proving that I stole your yarmulke. I've been a gossip. I can't go ahead and I can't be nishba, right? Why? Because, ipso facto, you had it on your head, it was yours. Same thing is true over here. Ipso facto, you have a contract, the original owner has a contract, this other guy doesn't, he's a ganav.
How He said he was Mofa. He stood before the three Dunamim and he was Mofa.
And now the interloper, the squatter, is now considered to be a Ganav.
But we still don't know. We don't have a Din Torah. We still don't know if he has
I have a contract.
No, he admits I have no contract.
It doesn't say I'm into it.
That's the whole point. Where there was, the guy claims... what else? When is he going to claim that he had the contract?
If in
the
beginning,
okay. So then, in other words, you stole it for 3 years, and then you decided.
No. He stood before these three, and he said, "He's my right." Somebody's sitting on my property.
So he's saying I had the original contract.
Yeah, the one he's
most. Okay, that's exactly how, that's exactly why the Rashbam hurls it, like you're saying. Rashbam says that makes much more sense. Adostosius makes much more sense to say what Rubanti is saying. Not that he's changing his mind. I say the whole time I had my contract.
Yeah.
The guy made me tzaras, so fine, I held on to the contract. Then when I saw again, he does it.
Right.
So then I figured, come on, he wasn't serious already. 3 years, he's not going to do anything about it. But for a new taina, so then it's sort of abgefrachtet. He's saying himself, well, you know, the first time really, I didn't have the contract, but I went ahead now and bought it from him again. That's very funny.
Yeah, is there a concept in Sugya like the business of when you lose something that if you give up on it then you hold on to it?
Mina Mechila?
No, not a Mechila.
Yeah.
But if you I forget the word. Yush. But if you lose something and the other part.
Yush.
What?
Yush.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's not. What do you mean? So you're miyayish on your karka because you lost the star?
I don't know. If you're not working hard to get the guy off, you just.
Oh, you mean the other guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, but we don't.
He's
not claiming. He's just claiming if the guy was serious about it, but you don't need to come on to anything like that. He's saying much better than that. If it was really yours, all of this is psychological, remember. We said a guy doesn't sit around and not complain. And that itself would be an indication that he isn't really the bottom. But I'm yours. He never would. He sold it. We believe the other guy. So here, what Rish Lakish seems to be saying is that since you didn't act on it for another 3 years, so that again violates the psychological assumptions that we've been making. The person doesn't sit around and do nothing for 3 years. That's the point. To which Rabbi Yochanan said, I don't understand. V'chi gazlan, yesh lo chazaka. I mean, this guy is a gazlan. I mean, we already established he's a gazlan. So how does he get a chazaka? I don't understand. What do you mean, gazlan? We don't know he's a gazlan. I mean, we're just saying that he can't prove his claim. Why are you calling him a gazlan? Gazlan salgadaita. I mean, he's not a gazlan. He's just saying, okay, he lost his contract. We don't know what happened. We mean ki gazlan. In a case like this, which sure looks awfully fishy. So now all of a sudden he gets a chazaka. I mean, you really think that that's how we recover a chazaka? Chazaka is where everything looks normal, and we have some contradictions in the way people are acting, and both of them are acting abnormally. The guy who's not Mike is acting abnormally, and the guy who doesn't have a contract or wasn't careful is acting abnormally. So these people are not protecting their ownership properly. But I mean, it's certainly after the case has already become complicated by the original Mecha, says Rabbi Yochanan, so now we're going to allow it just to go on. We institute a new din of psychology for the next 3 years. Why would we do that? You should not require any further act of Chazak at all, of Mecha at all. By the way, we know already, as Tosis points out, we know already that you don't need to do any further Mecha. Because remember the case where the guy claimed... That's interesting that you have 3 years of chazaka, because this guy sold it to me 4 years ago. So it was actually mine before your 3 years. So the Gemara says that then the guy says, well, I didn't say 3 years. I said I had chazaka. I mean a lot of years. So there the Gemara says, okay, but he needed to have at least 3 years before the sale. So it needed to be 7 years. Because if it was only 6 years, ein lecha mecha'a gedola mizu. But Ein Lecha Mecha'a Gedola Mizu is already past, 3 years past the sale. So where was the second Mecha? You see? So the Gemara was taking for granted that if he sold it out, I don't need to, what, I'm going to need to go ahead now or what? Restate the fact that at the time when I sold it, it was mine. And I mean, what for? It's very clear. You sold it, it's yours. That's all. So Tosis considers that to be a raya, that in fact the Sugya was assuming all along, that really you don't have to be doch. Moch, I mean. Tony Bar Kapora.
Where did we say
Omar Rava Hilchot HaTzarich Limchot Besof Kol Shalosh V'Shalosh. You would need, said Rava, and Tony bar Kapora ir er, chazar v'ir er, v'chazar v'ir er. If l'maisa a guy keeps being meicha, then if he's got a different story every time, then none of his bechas work. Let's say the guy says at the end, before the first 3 years are up, he says, this guy went into the field and he took the field and he stole it and I'm going to take him to court. And then he's quiet for another 3 years almost. Right before the end of 3 years, he says, that guy just went into the field because he's got a mashkanta, you know, but I want to make it very clear, he doesn't own the field. Another 3 years pass and he says, oh, the reason the guy is still in the field is because I hired him as an oris. Another 3 years and he says, well, actually, I sold the payers to him. No, I mean, the elegant solution is, it's that guy's field and you're a nut who's trying to get the field from him. So in that case, you can't go and undo the original taina that you have by having a different mikha, as long as it's some story or another. So certainly, it wouldn't work. So then, if you keep saying that, I didn't get around to going to court, I didn't get around to going to court, but I fully intend to go to court. Yes, Rababa.
What can the person do who's being given notice some way he can go to court and attack this?
No, all he has to do is keep his contract, okay. Put it in the safe. That's all he's got to do. This guy can't do anything. The only point is that he should just be careful to keep his papers in order. Not a big deal. Most people are anyway, right? And we're just trying to work it out for the guy that doesn't. But im lav yesh lo chazaka. If lamaisa, it's a different taina, then he would have a chazaka.
So again, according to this, Rish Lakshya and Rava, so that question on the Gemara before, that talked about 7 years.
Yeah, he passed. Tosfos says, you see that the assumption stam of the sugi was not like this. He argued, Rabbeinu Chananel paskins like this bar kapora, but he says it doesn't seem to be that way. I mean, look, it's easy.
It doesn't seem to be that often.
Right, but it's easy to see why that case would be different. Because Ein Lecha Mecha'a Gedola Mizu means that this is a Gedola Mecha'a. I mean, obviously, if I already sold a property, I can't be expected to keep worrying about the fact that somebody else may dine about it. Let the other guy worry about it. I mean, for me, it's out of my head. I sold it already. This is why I sold it. I want to tangle with the guy. So you can't come back to me and say, how come you didn't do anything for the next 3 years? About what? You mean about that field that you stoned? You got to be kidding. I got to worry about that. Well, it must be exactly 7 minutes to nine because it's Richie's telephone again.
It's Abba.
Chayshina legaimli. Omar Rava, Omar Rav Nachman. A mecha is in fact done in front of two witnesses, b'fnei shnayim. And those witnesses can write down the fact of the mecha'a in a contract. And they don't even have to be told that I want you to write this down. Ve'ein tzorech lomar k'tovu. The reason that they don't have to be told is because achin la'adam shelo b'fanav. Normally, as we're going to see, the case that's coming up, where I am big mecha'a of myself, is I would be meida in front of somebody, I owe you $100. And there's witnesses there. They don't have a right to write that up in a contract because that contract hurts me because I'm not going to be able to taina afterwards that parati because it's no longer baal peh. See, if there were witnesses there, I could say parati. But if they wrote up a contract, so how come you don't have the contract? So memela, they don't have a right to write it up. But Mashenkin over here, if I'm making a mecha, I would like them to write it up. The same thing is true if it's a moda'a. A moda'a, remember, is a statement made in advance that protests what I am about to do. So let's say, again, you've got the railroad is buying your property, and you are frightened of being mecha, you don't want to sell them. So you make a moda'a in front of witnesses, I'm being forced to sell, but I don't want to sell, I'm just scared of these guys because they've been shooting up the neighborhood. So then, when you're able to go to court, you can show that the document of the sale is batal because you made a moda'a. And there too, ain't tzarech lomar k'tov, because it's in your benefit that there should be such a contract. But a hoda'a, where you would mechayev yourself money, because hoda'at bal din kamei adim dami, over there, if you do it b'fnei shnayim, they can't write it up. V'tzarech lomar k'tovu. You would have to tell them to write it up because that already is something that's going to be mechayev you. And we're going to go into the last two cases in detail later. But there's one very fundamental problem with this whole business. And that is, who ever heard of witnesses writing things up? What's the point of witnesses writing things up? What does that prove? I thought we have a general rule. Mipihem velo mipi ketavam. A witness can't write up his testimony and assume that that's going to be meaningful. So why are we talking? This is not a shtar. A normal shtar that we are mitakein either is the actual vehicle of the transfer. So that obviously is written. Now that's the whole point of it. Or this is the way in which we originally made the takona that people can use it for an ariah to an event, not because it serves as testimony. But, I mean, the question is over here, what would that be? So, one approach in Tosfos is that this was part of the overall takona of Micha'ah, which, remember, is all really made up out of fluff. I mean, we don't really have enough basis just in psychological data to be able to say we'll take away a field from somebody just because he doesn't have his contract, or vice versa. Someone who does have a contract should be able now to lose his field because he wasn't meichas. All of this was really complex takonas. As part of that takona, in order to facilitate all of the financial dealings in this issue, so we allowed a shtar to be written up. But there's another pshat in Tosfos that he brings from the Rabbeinu Tam, which is fascinating. The Rish says he heard this orally from the Rabbeinu Tam. Absolutely remarkable pshat, that the Rabbeinu Tam was matir depositions. Adam can write down their testimony and send it in to Beis Din. So he asked them, what about mipi envelo mipi ktavam? And remarkably, the Rabbeinu Tam said that that has the same din of a kol haroi lebila ein bila makevetzbo, which is when people can talk, they don't need to talk. Mipiyem v'lo mipiktavam means if they cannot say it, then they can't write it. So that if they're unable to speak, then there's no way for them to be witnesses just because they write. This is talking about where there's no problems being a cheresh. A cheresh means he doesn't have das. Over here, the guy hears perfectly well and so on. He had a stroke. He's unable to speak. So he should be able to write. So if, in terms of all other things, kinyanim and so on and so forth, it would be fine. But for Adas, it's not Adas because he's unable to speak. That's the meaning of Mipiyem v'lo mipiktavam. According to which, there really is a diuraita in which I can write up my testimony and sign it, and then as a din of Adas. Okay, there's a lot of problems from sugyas. I mean, there are sugyas that says you're allowed to write it up as long as you remember it. If you remember it, then it's not mipiktavam because it's just jiggling your memory, but you certainly can't use it. These are major sugyas. Again, this is a side point over here. And tomorrow we'll discuss more about these last two cases, how they tie in. Omar Rava, Omar Rav Nachman, Micha'ah Shalav Efanav, Havi Micha'ah. Eitz Ve'Rava Rav Nachman, Omar Rebira Lohomru Shalosh Shanim, Ela Kedei She'ei Bas Pamea, Ve'Avzik Shana Ve'Yachu Ve'Yodiyu Shana Ve'Yavon Shana Acheret. V'Yisa Agadaitu Micha'ah Shalav Efanav, Havi Micha'ah. Why does he have to come? Lomli Lomete, Leite Vata Matuchte Ve'Limche. Well, maybe that's not the Mitzatova Kamashma. It's a good idea that Eitiv and Ishkel, that way he would be able to get Ara Uperit. Anyway, Minikomoti for Rabbler of Nachman, that certainly seems the low sphere later, because Shalab of Anavavim Mecha. Problem is that Rabbah Paskin, because Shalab of Anavavim Mecha. Well, sure he did. Bata the Shama, Miram Nachman, then Safra. Ashkechina Rabbi Yeshua Rabbi Chanina, del Tabidam, de Rabbi Yochanan, Amarlo, mi Amar Lechu Rabbi Yochanan, Mecha'a Bekama. Rabbi Barava Amar Rabbi Yochanan Bechab Befinishnai. Rabbi Avo Amar Mishum Rabbi Yochanan Bechab Befinishlosha. Lema Bet Rabba Baravuna Kamiflege De Omer Rabba Baravuna Komilta De Mitam Rabba Beklata Let Me Mishum Milishlam Bibsha. Man Yom Befinishnai. Obviously, let lay the Rabba Baravuna. Man Yom Befinishlosha. Eat lay the Rabba Baravuna. No, it's nothing to do with the Kuliyama. Eat lay the Rabba Baravuna in terms of Lashon Hara. And you're just looking for testimony. That's the whole point, is to spread the word. So then I obviously need three. Or, you know what? I don't really need to assure that he found out. I only need to make it possible and then to be able to prove it. No, I have to make it Absolutely, he's going to hear about it. Kilui mil to begin. Kilo ba min yume, havele mechayuta lo bechuyen. Ashkechinu lo revuna lo chiyabarav, lo revchilkiya barto. But every yatve, see, when he was mocha kamay, lishana, hodarata lo mechuyen. Omru lo ina, you don't need that. Ochi omarav, kiven shemicha shana rishona, shuven al tzirich limchot. Vigri amri omru lo chiyabarav himself, kiven shemicha shana rishona, shuven al tzirich limchot. Omrish lokish vishum bar kapara, but tzirich limchot besof kol shalosh v'shalosh shanim. Toy by Rabbi Yochanan, what for? Gazlan Yeshlo Chazaka. What do you mean Gazlan? I mean, that's a pretty harsh word. Gazlan Sakataita. I mean, it's very suspicious. Ki Gazlan Yeshlo Chazaka. Omar Rava Yochata Tzirich Limchot Besofka Shalosh V'Shalosh. Tony Bar Kapora Ir Er V'Chazar V'Ir Er V'Chazar V'Ir Er Imach Matana Rishana Ir Er. Fine. So then it's good. Ein Lo Chazaka. But Im Lav. He's contradicting himself. So then he ain't no chazakah. Omar Rav on Reb Nachman, Micha b'fnei shnayim, and they can write it up, ve'in tzarek lomar ktovu. Moda'a b'fnei shnayim, and ain't tzarek lomar ktovu, because it's in his benefit. Hoda'a b'fnei shnayim, but tzarek lomar ktovu. Kinyan b'fnei shnayim, ve'in tzarek lomar ktovu, and kiyim shtarot b'shloshan.